Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
All right. As you guys get out your Bibles, and if you don't already have them out, or pull up your apps, whatever your thing is, and go with me to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. As you guys know, we've been in a little bit of a series together. I've called it our new normal. I know. You're hearing that all the time. But around here, when we start talking about our new normal, it's not about all of our new limitations. It's not about our new restrictions. It's not about the new hard life we have to get used to. It's about greater liberties, more clarity of vision, and a fresh assignment and vision from heaven for our lives. And as we're coming out of one season into the next, we're talking about all that God is doing and what he's shaping in our hearts and our lives in this season that we're in right now. And last week, I talked about who are we. We're really discussing who are we, where are we going, and how do we get there. And one of the things that we talked about last week is the who are we. And I brought up to you guys, I used kind of the language of colonization, that in Genesis we were given the commandment, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. There's a call from heaven as believers that we would be that we would steward what our Father had created. Right? And I brought in Ephesians chapter 4 that we would become an apostolic center of training and equipping the saints for the works of ministry. That from this place, we would train and equip believers and send them into all the earth to make every city and every sphere of influence, every place you work and in every home, that would make it look like on earth as it is in heaven. That you would carry a heavenly reality, a heavenly authority to transform cities and nations. I don't know, but I'm not interested in just having another church that goes about the motions, that just does tries to do good Christianity. I want to see revivalists and reformers and awakeners that carry the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead inside of them, that go into cities and nations, and wherever they go, environments are changed. And cities are transformed and souls are won. I want to see a revival movement birthed out of our community. And I know that means as a church, we got to train and equip the believers for the works of ministry, right? I want you guys to look real quick, because what we're going to start getting into, we're going to start talking about what are the fundamental values of the kingdom that create an environment for a kingdom community, to create a kingdom culture that brings kingdom fruit, right? And we're going to be talking about some of those cornerstone values that we are building in this community to get to where we're going. And I want you guys to look with me at John 17. I'm going to read two verses. And in John 17, we have Jesus is about to lay down his life and to die before his resurrection. And he's in the garden, and he's praying, and he begins to pray for you and I. And he says, Father, I do not pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word, that they would be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they would be one in us, so that the world would believe that you have sent me. And I've given them the glory which you've given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they would be made perfect in one, that the world would know that you sent me, and I've loved them as you have loved me. Jesus prays, and he says, Father, make them one, as I am in you and you are in me, may they be one in us so that the world would know. How many of us know that our unity will determine the extent in which we can advance the kingdom? Yeah. Our extent to expand the kingdom on the earth will be measured by the depth of community and unity that we have together. Even our ability to reveal Jesus in the earth will be dependent on the strength of our relationships. Listen, how many of us know that there is not only the human nature that gets a little divisive, there is a demonic assignment against the church to bring disunity. Yeah. Yeah. There is a war against our agreement. Why? because where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. If the brethren dwell together in unity, I command a blessing. If two or more agree on anything, it will be done for them. There is power in our agreement, and then there's a war against our unity. It used to be theology and doctrine. Wouldn't that be nice if that's all that it was now? Now we're like fighting over masks and viruses and politics. I mean, like, there is a full onslaught of a war and violence against our unity. But the enemy knows that if we are unified, that the kingdom will forcefully and violently increase over all the nations of the earth. In Ephesians chapter 4, this is where I talked about last week, that I believe that Kingdom Life Church is called to be an apostolic community that trains and equips believers for the works of ministry, that sends delegations of believers from cities and nations and workplaces to be transformers and reformers, to carry revival. And I use this verse, but I want to read verse 13 as well, because it says, "And truly he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the works of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, and this until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a full-grown man in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." He says here that training and equipping is unto the unity of the faith, and the unity of faith will position the body to walk in the mature, full stature of Christ on the earth. He is saying that the fullness of Christ on the earth is obtainable. How is it attainable? By unity. And a community will steward a place to train and equip the believers unto that place of unity that they can carry the fullness of his presence. This is what we're going after. But I want to present to you that what God is doing in I've been in a lot of supernatural, spiritual, and prophetic environments. And you know what I don't hear the prophetic church talking a lot about? Is healthy relationships. And you want to talk about, man, we want to see the prophetic move. Man, we want to see signs, wonders, and miracles. We want to see evangelism. We want to see this. I'll tell you what. You know what we need to talk about more than anything? Is having healthy relationships in the church. Because if we don't, our disunity will actually hinder the move of the Holy Spirit. And so you better believe that we want to see the dead raised, the lame walk, the blind eyes open, the deaf ears. I want to see every one of you operating in words of knowledge in the prophetic. And one of the greatest ways for us to steward an environment for that to happen will be for us to talk about healthy relationships. Because in this, the Holy Spirit can move. By our unity together, we have the ability to become the full expression of Christ on the earth. How is God going to do this through his church? Well, I'll bring us back to Genesis 1, just as I was there last week. When God created the earth and humanity, he created it as a direct reflection of himself. And man was created in the image of God and his likeness as a representation of himself. That you would become a microcosm of the Godhead, right? That you would be made in his likeness, that you would be triune as he is triune, body, soul, and spirit, for the purpose of his dwelling inside of you, right? And God created the earth. When he created the earth, he created it with three longings. He longed for a bride, he longed for a home, and he longed for a family. And when God created man, he put his longings inside of man. And he presented man. God created man with his own heart for a desire for a bride, for a home, and for a family. And within man was the fulfillment of that desire, that there would be a longing for a bride, a longing for a home, and longing for a family. And within the garden, he made man a home. He presented man with a wife, and he commanded them to be fruitful and to multiply and to build a family. I want to present to you, last week I talked about be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. I talked about Roman colonization, the very idea that God was calling Adam to go into all the nations. He made the garden and he says, now I want you to go and I want you to make every nation and every people group to look like the place that you came from, heaven on earth. I want you to go and colonize the earth. And I use a military tone to it, but I want to present to you that the tone of the Father in this moment was not that he would send people out militantly, but that God's plan for colonizing the nations of the earth was to build family. The Father created the earth. And he made a son, and he had his son with a commandment to steward what the Father created. And he says, I want you to go everywhere, and I want you to expand this kingdom. And how are you going to do it? You're going to have sons and daughters, and you're going to be fruitful and multiply, and you're going to build family, because it's in the presence of a family that the kingdom is manifested. And God calls Adam, and he calls Eve to build families all over the earth. God's plan for colonizing the earth with heaven is the family unit. Is that all right? And we see it again when the Father had a son. How many of us know the king didn't send an agent? The Father had a son. I need you to get that. A pastor didn't send a volunteer. A father had a son, and the son came to reveal the Father. And he taught us to pray this. He said, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done. And then when Jesus died and rose again, he presented a plan of salvation. And his plan of salvation, he called it adoption, because the Father was going to adopt and choose sons and daughters and make them to him, bring them to himself. And Jesus would become an elder brother of the Gentile church that would be adopted and grafted into an inheritance. And Jesus, in his generosity, would share his inheritance with brothers and sisters. Jesus is your brother. He's not just your savior. He's not just your lawyer. He's not just your king. Jesus is your elder brother. You understand that the kingdom and the gospel of the kingdom is manifested in the context of a family. And this is so important because God's plan to colonize the earth and our dream to be an apostolic center that trains and equips believers for the works of ministry, for sending delegations all over the earth that would plant churches and fill homes and start houses of prayer and mission assignments, that we would go into our spheres of influence and carry the supernatural power. The language is not to be one of corporation, of organization, of sterile franchisee models of Christianity. The call is to build families, build families, build families, build families. Go and make families and start families and heal families and be fruitful and multiply. Don't think about today. Think about generations upon generations. Are you getting it? This is... God's plan was not to create denominational organizations with church planting models that reflect franchises, have membership programs, and reward systems. Let me say it again. His plan was not franchises and denominational structures and membership programs and reward systems. God's plan was to extend kingdom authority and transform cities by creating covenantal relationships, multi-generational co-laboring, creating spiritual mothers and fathers that would raise up new generations of leaders. That the family unit, you know, we've had to rely on the church to disciple nations, but I believe God's original intent is that families would disciple nations. And so if families have been called to disciple nations and to raise up leaders, it shouldn't be the pastor's responsibility to raise up the next leaders. It should be within a family. But we know the family structure is broken. So God's calling the church on assignment to heal the family. And because the kingdom is manifested in the context of family. You know, what we have to understand is that if the way that we're going to restore families is by creating a family culture. And a church that has a family culture makes place for families. A church that has generational unity. A church that has generational partnerships. A church that is not loaded with instructors, but loaded with fathers and mothers. A church that will make place for a family is the church that will manifest his kingdom on the earth as it is in heaven. We understand that it's not revival if the whole family isn't being transformed. It's not revival if the whole family isn't being transformed. And if we're going to create a family culture that not only looks at the family unit but becomes a family, families within a family, if we begin to look at that, then what does family look like in a church? Well, let me present some ideas to you what family looks like. In a family, you belong. In a family, you are valued, you are supported, you are known, you have a place, you have a purpose, you are thought of, you are cared for, and you can be your unique self. And your differences do not displace you from your family. Your ups, your downs, your good, your bad, your past, your present, your future, you are not just welcome, you belong. You know, the majority of Christianity carries kind of a clan mentality. And what I mean by that is that you conform or you are pushed out. It's unity through conformity, not unity through diversity. This is really important. I need you to understand this because we usually will cause people to feel grafted into a church environment because they can assimilate to the people around them, not actually be their unique self and be celebrated for it. And actually, at a moment right now where there are so many lenses of looking at life and culture, we have to understand the value for pursuing unity through diversity, not unity through conformity. Because if it's unity through conformity, it's going to be a line or get away. And we actually begin to engage a divisive spirit when we're operating in a clan mentality, but God wants to create an environment of belonging. That actually, you belong here just as much now, when you're serving as when you're not serving. You belong here just as much that when you're in your good season as when you're in your bad season. This is an environment where I liked you better when you were doing really well. Right? Hey, remember when you were like serving in the children's church and stuff and then you had to back out because something changed in life and then all of a sudden you fell out of all your relationships and people stopped calling you and talking to you and all that kind of stuff because you really are only valuable to us unless you're engaged. That's not an environment of belonging, is it? And not only that, that is not an environment that celebrates family. Because we have to create an environment where people belong. You see, Jesus modeled this with his disciples where they belonged with Jesus before they even believed in Jesus. Jesus called them disciples and said, come and follow me, even before they confessed that he was the Son of God. They belonged before they believed. And Jesus actually, by creating a culture of belonging, he actually created an environment that they could be discipled into a kingdom way. They were because they belonged before they believed. But how many of you guys know we've reversed it quite a few times, that you'll belong once you start believing? But that's not how you make disciples, is it? If we're going to be a family, we have to create an environment and a culture of belonging. We have to create an environment that is safe. And let me define safety, because we've often thought safety is I won't get hurt here. And I want to present to you that if you're going to stick around long enough, and it's not just because it's Kingdom Life Church, but because any church, you're going to stick around long enough, how many of you guys know you're probably going to get hurt? You're going to stub your toe on something, right? You're going to trip up with somebody. You're going to serve. You're going to have a good day or a bad day. You're going to cross somebody, not cross somebody. There's going to be some sort of communication, some sort of misunderstanding, because actually hurt, pain, and feelings come along with family, because it's the road you got to take to get to intimacy and deeper connection. You got to go through friction and tension to get to wholeness and deep connection. And so pain is actually a part of the process, but there's safety in family. How can there be safety when people are feeling hurt? And I'll tell you what the safety is. The safety is not that you won't get your feelings hurt. The safety is that our relationship isn't on the line. If you offend me, our friendship isn't on the line. If I hurt your feelings, our friendship isn't on the line. We're just going to jump on the wagon to getting to wholeness and to healing, but we're coming out stronger, baby. Right? This is a safety, as you know, that I'm going to be equally as engaged in healing and restoration as you are. I'm not backing out. I'm not going in. You know you're going to get honesty. You're going to get vulnerability. You're going to get authenticity. You're going to get feedback. And you're going to get a listening ear. And we're going to connect our hearts because our relationship is not on the line. And this is a key to family because that creates safety. Is that you know that I will not sabotage this relationship and I will not hold my connection ransom for your agreement. Does that make sense? If we're going to be a family, it's going to be safe. It's going to be safe for people to engage each other knowing that connection is what we are mutually after. A family is intimate. Family is honest and vulnerable. Family gives each other time. Family is invested in knowing each other beyond acquaintances. It pursues the thoughts and the feelings of each other's hearts. This is so important, is that we are not creating a mile wide but inch deep church community. We're doing life. We know each other's hearts. We're after deeper connection with one another. Like, I want to be a part of your best days and your worst days. Like, it hurts me if when you're in pain, you don't call me. That if you're going through a season of difficulty and I got to find out another way, like, you better flip and call me. Because our relationship is not connected to your best moments. We're family. I'm not going anywhere. Your place in the church isn't on a ladder. It's not teetering, waiting for you to give me a good face or a bad face or a good day or a bad day. Like, I want to be engaged in a part of your story. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I hope you understand. I am trying to knock religion in the chin right now. Because whether you like it or not, if you've grown up in the church at all, you've been conditioned to think in some denominational patterns that are actually aggressively anti-kingdom. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be a church basher right now. I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to present to us that if we're going to host the kingdom, then we've got to root out even religious thought patterns that have been indoctrinated into our thinking. And if we're going to see the kingdom, we need an authentic and genuine church environment that actually feels and operates like a family. And it's not in some weird manipulation control way. We'll send away just as well as we receive. It's not that. I've heard people use family to manipulate hearts into deeper connection. Understand this. I want to be able to send just as well as we receive. Right? When you feel God's calling you out of Kingdom Life Church, I don't want to be the guy coming and going, but did he really? Instead of like manipulating in there. I'm going to probe your heart because we're family. And actually, like, when like those seasons change, there's a good kind of pain because transition could be like, we're leaving on this assignment. But I want to dig in with you and be a part of your story of sending you into your next assignment well. Are you hearing me? We want a genuine church environment that's authentic and real and can host the kingdom. And last but not least, a family celebrates together. I'm just about done. Family celebrates together. In family, you are celebrated. You are celebrated for who you are without stumbling over who you're not. You are celebrated for who you are without stumbling over who you are not. Celebration will root out comparison and competition out of a church environment. Celebration will root out comparison and competition out of a church environment. When we learn to celebrate each other and we learn to be, you know, like, I love the rebuke of a wise man more than anybody. Like, I love it. Like, rebuke me. Like, tell me what's wrong with me. But I'll tell you what, we cannot create an environment that is rigid in confrontation more than it is in celebration. We've got to be intimately acquainted with who each other are. And not only that, but listen, we should create a church environment where like a prophetic guy comes in and gives a prophetic word to somebody and calls them out that we're not like, I wanted that word. You know what I mean? and this like weird competition thing, and insecurity pops up, and you're like, why is he going to get the blessing and I'm not? And you know what I mean? Like, we can't create that environment. I want to create an environment where one of our friends gets a prophetic word. We're all like championing and cheering, going, yeah, their blessing is my blessing. Like, I get to be a part of watching this front row popcorn, watching them fulfill the prophetic promises. Right? Like, I want to get in a place where we feel those breakthrough moments, where we feel it. And you know, I remember when we've had family members going through really, really hard seasons of life that everyone knew, but we had prophetic guys come in and just call them like, hey, I just feel like you just lost something recently, but God's going to restore it, and here's what God is doing. And every eye in the room is weeping because it's a family. And we've been carrying their pain with them. We've been carrying what's been going on. But we are full of joy because we are hearing the prophetic promises of God over their life, and we carry it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We've got to create a celebration environment. And one of the reasons why I'm sharing this message today is because families start with fathers. Paul warned the Corinthians. He said, I'm warning you, Corinthians. He's saying, Corinthians, I'm warning you right now that you have 10,000 instructors, but you have not many fathers. And he warned them, saying, I'm coming to you as a father. Mimic what I'm doing. And understand something, is that if we're going to create a family culture and environment where a broken marriage, where you, I can't tell you how many times when a broken marriage, it's not two people come from healthy homes. It's usually people from broken marriages and broken homes themselves come in and they're working through it. We need a dad that is rushing into the broken marriage to be like, I'll be a father and I'll stand in your mess and love you and walk through healing with you. I need some moms and dads that will like rush to the generational gap and will like co-labor with younger generations, you know, and not carry the edge toward Gen Z and, well, you Gen Zers and you blah, blah, blah. Like, we got to, like, root that stuff out of our heart and be like, there is a beautiful reward in Gen Z. There's a beautiful reward in you millennials. Like, I want to pour into you and help you walk into wholeness. I want to help bring balance to the things that you've been missing from broken families and what it's done to this generational line. Like, I know many senior, like, mature believers are waiting for a phone call. But how about some moms and dads that will see an orphan heart and run to them? How many stories of orphans have you heard where they pick their mom and dad? They don't. If we're going to create a spirit of adoption, moms and dads choose kids. Right? And I'm saying this because I want to challenge you. I want to challenge the men in the room. Like, I want to challenge you dads. We need fathers that will pioneer belonging and celebration and intimacy and create family culture and fight for families and make space for families and protect children. Our children need to be protected. We need some, I want to see some guys down in that nursery holding some babies. Seriously, I want to see some fathers that are like taking some young people under their wing. I want to see some fathers jump on that security team going, my eyes are going to be on those kids during this day because I'm going to protect them and watch over them. I don't want to be that church. Don't run in the halls. I want to be the ushers racing the kids. Let's go. Right? Let's create a family environment, not only for the family unit, but for every individual that walks in. They walk into a family where they get adopted. And not only do they get adopted, but they get a shared inheritance. And they go like, wow, there's a vision in this church. There's an inheritance that they're going after nations and cities. And I'm going to be given a purpose. I'm going to be given a plan. I'm going to be told who I am. I'm going to be reminded. Someone's going to shake the dust off me and heal my heart and walk me into wholeness and disciple me and set me on an assignment. Like, I want to be a family that adopts and gives inheritances away. Does it make sense? And I want to challenge the dads in the room. Let it begin with us. Let's fight for a family culture here. Let's live vulnerably. Let's live intimately. Let's fight for connection. Let's adopt some kids. Let's make space in our hearts for families. Let's take some let's take some Colby students when they come back who have no family and let's invite them over for dinner and be a mom and a dad for them while they're here. Yeah. Are you getting like family vision? Yeah. This is what I want to create in Kingdom Life Church because it was God's plan from the beginning that he would manifest his kingdom in the context of family. Why don't you guys stand with me? I hope you guys hear my passion for an authentic church community. I just want such a genuine place, guys. I want such a grassroots church community that's so real. It's so honest. You don't feel like there's any religious obligations, membership, reward programs. You have to climb any ladders. You can be yourself. If you need to sit back and receive, you sit back and receive. If it's time for you to serve, you feel like there's place for you to serve. If you just need a family and you need friendship, you don't have to, let's be honest, you don't have to fit into a clique. I hate cliques. Dear God. But actually our culture consumes that stuff and it roots it out of our culture. Let's build this together. Dads, it's on us, I think, to target this kind of stuff and make sure it doesn't happen. And that we're watching as watchdogs for family culture and building this thing together.